This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Russ White.
Today on MSU Today, we're going to relive a huge day in the history of Michigan State University, that being the November 10, 2012 dedication of the Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum at MSU. With the facilities opening, MSU was overnight a player in the international arts and culture world. Today we're going to hear that dedication ceremony in its entirety. The Broad's founding director, Michael Rush, opened the program.
Thank you so much for coming this morning. My name is Michael Rush, the director of the museum, and I'm so pleased to see an overflow crowd here today. This is a wonderful, amazing, extraordinary day for our region, for our state, and for the world of art, I believe. I want to start with thanking the community for their enormous groundswell of support for this project. It's in evidence here today. All you have to do is look around. We have been so welcomed and so supported financially, morally, by your visits, by your calls, and by your contributions. I want to thank you deeply for the community support that makes this happen. Thank you so much. A big hand for you. Clearly, there is enormous excitement about this project here. We have received international attention for our efforts here for the Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum, including a great piece in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, which announced to the world very clearly that we're here. We will have an impact, hopefully, on people's lives because we fully believe that art elevates our lives. Art elevates the conversation of our lives. Art elevates our interactions with each other, not only here but around the world. And you'll notice in our lobby that we have live interactions with fellow art lovers in Istanbul, in China, and in other different parts of the world. So the world knows about us. The world knows about you. Thank you again so much. Thank you. This museum will reach to the world through our programming. Currently, there are more than 20 countries represented in the opening exhibitions. Going forward, we will have art from all around the world. Our goal is to participate in the great global reach of Michigan State University, a university that is doing important work in all corners of the world. It is our hope to be the artistic, cultural arm of this global reach so that when we extend to you the art of the world, you know that you are participating not only in the art of the world, but in the global project, which is Michigan State University, something for which we can all be proud. A highlight of this morning's event is the participation of a number of distinguished guests. It was a late night last night, folks. What can I tell you? Do you feel extinguished?
Yes.
I'm back. No, it's... There are distinguished guests here. They really are. And a few of them have agreed to stay here and share remarks with you, even after that. First, I would like to welcome the Honorable Joel Ferguson, Chairman of the MSU Board of Trustees. Joel has been a successful business and civic leader throughout his professional career, whether he's been orchestrating a surprise victory in a presidential campaign or spearheading a multimillion-dollar business venture. He was elected to the MSU Board of Trustees for his first eight-year term on the board in 1986 and was elected again in 1996, 2004, and 2012. He is currently serving as the board's chairman. Please join me in welcoming the Honorable Joel Ferguson.
Good morning. A number of speakers are going to be up here, and they're going to really talk about the arts and everything else. And I'm going to talk about the glue, why we're here today. We have an individual, Eli Broad, tremendous vision, tremendous drive, commitment to the arts, to education, everything else. Then we have a person sitting next to him, Luana Simon. You know, and either one of these individuals will ever say anything about themselves. And when I get through talking about them, they're both going to kind of not be pleased with me. Because they want to be an unkept secret. Their commitment is not for personal recognition, but to really do something that makes a difference. And Luana Simon, every time you're around her and she gives a speech, she talks about Team MSU. But you know, Team MSU, we have a tremendous leader with tremendous vision. So when Eli Broad has this great vision for what we're going to do here at Michigan State University with this art museum, it doesn't work unless we have the on-the-ground person who can make certain that we can connect all the dots. And that's Luana Simon. And so I just want to say that those two have been in a three-legged sack race. You know, and you understand that in a sack race, when you're having a three-legged sack race, if there's not total coordination, nothing works. And so I just want to say this morning that they're not going to ask for anything, but I'd like to give a great hand for both of those two individuals for Team MSU. And all I can say about them is they're gifts that keep giving. So thank you.
Governor Snyder was next to speak at the November 10 Broad Art Museum at MSU dedication. Michael Rush introduces Governor Snyder.
I'm delighted to introduce our next speaker, the governor of the state of Michigan, Rick Snyder. Last night, I had the privilege of showing the governor around the art museum and really talking about the art. We had some real moments and moments of being able to express the privilege of the collection that we have, the artwork that we've borrowed from the Broad Foundation and from the wonderful artists who are here. Every chance we can get to bring another art lover into the crowd, we appreciate that opportunity. Governor Snyder earned his undergraduate degree, MBA, and law degree from the University of Michigan, and he worked as a tax accountant at Coopers & Lybrand, now PricewaterhouseCoopers. He then joined the fledgling computer company Gateway and helped it grow to a Fortune 500 company before leaving to form his own successful venture capital firm. Please welcome Governor Rick Snyder.
Thank you. And thank you, Michael. That was a special tour. That was incredible. And I look forward to coming back and visiting because today is a special day. Today's an exciting day. It's an exciting day for Michigan State University. It's an exciting day for Lansing. It's an exciting day for the state of Michigan, for our country, and for the globe. And that's one thing we should be really proud of. This is just not an asset or an opportunity for those of us in Michigan. This is something that can make a difference in the world, and we should be so proud. And we should be proud of Michigan State University overall. It is a world-class institution that is helping lead us into the future. And it does it in so many ways. It has a long history in academics. It's had a long history in research. I mean, if you think about it, who knew the word frib until MSU put it in Wikipedia? And for those of you from the art world, you may not know, it's the facility for rare isotope beams. And it's to help lead in the scientific world. But now we have something to go along with it in the worlds of art and culture. Because it's not about a world of science. It's a world where you blend these two worlds together. And the Broad Art Museum will be there with the FRIB in terms of something that's going to be recognized around the world as the best. And that's truly exciting. And so I want to thank all of you that were so big a part of making this happen, whether it was working on the project, contributing to the project, making it come together. It is special, and you should feel great. I want to give special recognition to Edie and Eli for their great effort to make this happen. Because their leadership, not only with this art museum, but their leadership in the state. And I want to mention to you, they're supporting this one in a fabulous way, but they're also doing the Educational Achievement Authority, many other educational things in the state of Michigan, in their home state, that they are true Michiganders to me, and I hope to all of you. And then to put it in perspective, I spend my life working on the reinvention of Michigan, and we're doing this as a team. As a team, we're trying to reinvent our state, and there are two main goals. One is more and better jobs, but the second is a future for our kids. And that's what brings this all home to me in terms of this facility, this great museum. Because if you look at it, our young people need a job, but they're looking for more than a job. They're looking for quality of life. They're looking for unique aspects to say, why is this the best place to be? This is one of those great landmarks that we're going to be proud of, not just today, but this is a celebration that will go on for decades and generations to say, here is a place that we can celebrate every day as a quality of life moment to say, why Michigan? And why our children should want to be here, live here, and continue our legacy. So thank you so much for making this all happen, this great facility. And this is a celebration that I say won't just be for today. It will be going on through our lifetime and beyond. Thank you so much.
MSU alumna and newly reelected U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow was back at her alma mater for this momentous occasion in MSU's long and storied history, and she spoke next.
I also had the privilege last night of accompanying Debbie Stabenow on a tour of the museum, and I will never forget your eyes going past certain artworks and going, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like that. That's the idea for us. We hope that many, many, many people, thousands down the years, will have that same reaction. We are delighted that Senator Stabenow is with us today. Senator Stabenow was first elected to the U.S. Senate in 2000 and has been reelected twice, including this past Tuesday, for a third term. She was formerly a member of the U.S. House of Representatives and the Michigan House of Representatives. We are proud to say that she holds bachelor's and master's degrees from Michigan State University. Please welcome Senator Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning. Go State. All right. It is so exciting to be here, and it was wonderful to have a chance to get the tour last night and to have an opportunity as we go forward and see the changing of the exhibits to see how this continues to be a living, breathing expression of art, both from the past, the present, and the future. This is really an exciting moment, and thank you, Michael, for all that you're doing. And, of course, I want to recognize our wonderful architect, Zaha Hadid. Thank you for the wonderful vision. And, of course, we would not be here without wonderful friends, Eli and Edie Brode. Thank you. I have to say that whether it's in your home in L.A., where we've had multiple opportunities to be together and see the beautiful art in their home, which, by the way, is another museum. It is absolutely beautiful. Or whether it's sitting in Eli's office talking about education in Detroit, or whether it's being here, I am so proud that they love Michigan and Michigan State, and you are definitely on the top of our list of those who are moving us forward. Eli, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Edie, thank you. Thank you. Very, very much. And I have to join with Joel in talking about our president, Luanna Simon, who is incredible in her team that she has assembled. I loved having the opportunity to walk through the exhibits last night. She can tell you detail about every single one. And it's I know that you were deeply involved in putting this all together. And I have to say, if you have not had the opportunity yet, whether it is focusing on the incredible exhibit, which I loved, addressing China's earthquake and the figures from that, the scene from that, which is amazing, whether it is looking at a red square on the first floor that you have to look at just right to be able to see this face coming at you, shadow. It's just an extraordinary scene. Or Michael was talking about the composite, digital composite, that is just haunting composites of women who have been coming together, this amazing artist, to form a face, which is actually a composite of many, many faces of women that is just haunting and beautiful and really was something I had not seen before. Or my very favorite, I have to say, which is on the second floor. I'm giving you a tour. On the second floor, there is a beautiful video you have to sit and you have to watch for a moment of flowers. Have you seen that? With the beginning of, you see soldiers behind. It's incredible and powerful. And we see both the old and the new and incredible visions and people from around the world. So that's really what this is about. I'm so proud it's here on our campus at Michigan State. Aren't you proud that this is here? I have grown up in the arts. It's been a very important part of my life, including when I was on campus. And this is the step that takes us again out in front in global leadership. On September 29, 1965, President Lyndon Johnson signed a bill to establish a President's Committee on the Arts and Humanities. And at the signing ceremony, he said, "Art is a nation's most precious heritage, for it is in our works of art that we reveal ourselves to ourselves and to others, the inner vision which guides us as a nation, and where there is no vision, the people perish." This is important. Arts is not a frill. It is about our humanity and our values and our vision. And it's a wonderful day to celebrate. Thank you.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
And you're hearing the November 10, 2012 dedication ceremony for the Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum at Michigan State University. The Broad's architect, Zaha Hadid, was next to speak and received a rousing standing ovation when introduced by Michael Rush.
Every day for the past several months, I and my colleagues in the museum, whom I want to salute now, by the way, would you all raise your hands, all of you who work at this great museum? I want you to give a big cheer up for these. Never has there been gathered a better or finer group of colleagues. But every day we are in this building. As I think about it, my heart flutters. The pace grows faster. Because in this building, in this extraordinary building, we feel that we are creating something new. And it's by virtue of this extraordinary, extraordinary container that we are privileged to live in and work in that we feel we're contributing something to this world, to this campus, and to this world. And this building didn't just happen. It birthed from the genius of Zaha Hadid. Zaha Hadid is the visionary architect responsible for the design of the magnificent Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum at MSU. She is an inspiration to architects around the world. As the founding partner of Zaha Hadid Architects, she was awarded the architectural world's highest honor, the Pritzker Prize, in 2004, and is internationally known for both her futuristic, theoretical, and architectural work. Her work has received numerous awards from the world's most prestigious institutions, including the Mies van der Rohe Foundation of European Architecture, the American Institute of Architects, and the Royal Institute of British Architects. Her many notable buildings include the Maxim Museum in Rome, the Riverside Museum in Glasgow, the Guangzhou Opera House in China, the Contemporary Art Museum in Cincinnati, the London Olympics Aquatic Center. Recently, 2 days ago, she received the Dame Commander of the British Empire for her accomplishments. Please welcome Zaha Hadid.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm giving you my back. Thank you very much. It's an incredible, a very generous gesture. You know, in London, in England, it's very rare. I mean, most of the institutions are sponsored by the state, and sometimes, you know, private individuals would donate to the making of a public or a building. So I think it's a fantastic act of generosity on the Broad's part and other donors to give to this school. I carry on teaching despite the difficulties in my schedule, between brackets, because I really do believe in education, and it's very important to inspire young people and show them, you know, a way forward. And I think also you cannot really, and I think it's fantastic also to have an art institution within the campus facility. I remember, you know, 20 maybe odd years ago, a German journalist, and you know, interviewed me and asked me, how did I get there? And I said, by airplane. You know, she meant, you know, how did I get there being an Arab woman, etc. And I really never thought in my wildest dreams that the level of generosity I've received from people and support on in every way, from very old friends, some of them are here today, from colleagues who have been at most difficult times, you know, work extremely hard in the office despite all odds. And I think that it's very important that there's somebody there who actually believes in what you're trying to do. And President Simon, I know there have been some tough moments on this project, but you carried on. And I think these kind of things give us the courage to, despite the distance and the difficulties, for us to try to do every time a better project. We wanted to do something very good for Michigan State University because it is an unusual site, and we wanted to really provide like a jewel box, and the distortion and, let's say, there like prism-like quality was the idea, was that as the light hits it, it would explode and brings in a light into the kind of corner, and also with it maybe bring people from all sorts of the south of the campus to the building. And everybody was worried when I was going to go inside the building yesterday. They thought, the people who were in my office, they were teasing me, saying, "Oh, Zahi, didn't tell them that, start again." You know? Because that was my usual rhetoric, is that, "Oh, it's not really good, do it again." You know. Patrick Schumacher would stop me, my partner Patrick, who has been amazing in the office, and I think the team, Craig Kiner, Niels, and Alberto, have really never for 1 minute kind of flinched or gave up. Mr. Rush, thank you very much for your kind words, and everybody here. I think that without that belief, you cannot really do this stuff because it is quite difficult. Anyway, I went last night, and it was really fantastic because it proves that actually these prism-like spaces sometimes gives you the idea that you have much more space and stretches that space. And these are not, they were not some whimsical experiments we wanted to do and impose them on others, but we really thought through doing these things, one can create a kind of speciality which is quite unique to that particular site. And I hope that the students will enjoy it, the people in the city will enjoy it, and kind of the vicinity. If it's anything goes like the Art Museum in Glasgow, which is not done in the capital, have only in 1 year received more than 1 million visitors. I'm not talking about Rome, because Rome is in a major city, but and it's fantastic. You know, everybody's going to see the Glasgow Museum. I'm sure that many people will come and see this, because it's a very also welcoming community. And it's a great campus. And thank you very much. Thank you.
Up next at the dedication is the man who made it all happen, Eli Broad.
We hope, by the way, after the ceremony is over and we clear the stage for a little bit, just 5 minutes, a conversation will be held among myself, Eli Broad, and Zaha Hadid. So please do stick around for that. Our program continues with Eli Broad, who together with his wife, Edie, is the co-founder of the Broad Foundations. If I may just say personally, throughout this process since I've been here, Eli and Edie have been extraordinarily welcoming and generous, and I don't just mean philanthropically with financially supporting us, but I mean personally with their generosity, welcoming me into their home, into the people who work with them and for them, welcoming me into their lives, and letting me see what it means, as Eli talks in his wonderful book, what it means to combine life and work into a unified whole that is based now fully on philanthropy. Eli Broad is a Detroit native and a 1954 cum laude graduate of Michigan State University. The Broads are devoted to philanthropy and are the founders of the Broad Foundations, focused on advancing entrepreneurship for the public good in education, science, and the arts. In 1991, the Broads endowed the Eli Broad College of Business and the Eli Broad Graduate School of Management at Michigan State University. We're pleased that Stephanie Lenway, who oversees these operations, is with us today. Their generosity across the areas of education, reform, scientific and medical research, and the arts has been enabled by Eli Broad's five-decade career in business. He's the founder of both Sun America Incorporated and KB Homes, formerly Kaufman and Broad Home Corporation. Eli Broad is the founding chairman and life trustee of the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. He is also trustee of the Museum of Modern Art in New York and vice chairman of the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. I think this meant to say Eli Broad is the founding chairman and life trustee of the Contemporary Art Museum in Los Angeles. Sorry about that. After Mr. Broad shares a few remarks, the speaking part of our program will conclude with the president of Michigan State University. Please join me in welcoming a distinguished alumnus and friend of Michigan State University, Eli Broad.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Edie and I are delighted to be with you today. And we're overwhelmed that so many of you are here to celebrate the opening of this great new museum. We want to express our appreciation to Governor Snyder, Senator Stabenow, for being with us today. Beyond the speakers on this stage who played an integral role in this museum, Edie and I want to thank the members of the architectural jury for their collective wisdom and foresight in selecting Zaha Hadid's design. To the MSU trustees who supported this project from the very beginning, and to the hundreds of university staff who worked tirelessly to make this a museum a reality, we thank you. To many donors who gave to this project, we salute you for your generosity. And to the construction crews and countless workers who each had a hand in building this museum and preparing us for today's opening, we extend our appreciation for the attention you paid to every last detail. This is an exciting day for the university, for East Lansing, for Michigan, and for the art and architecture worlds. There's no feeling like seeing a project develop from an idea to a reality. I confess I did watch the museum's construction from 2,200 miles away, thanks to the webcam. We had a terrific architectural design competition. Joseph Giovannini, the former architectural critic of the New York Times, led that competition. that drew six world-class architects. After President Simon cautioned those on the jury to be respectful of the university's red brick architecture tradition, when the designs were presented, she was the most vocal and visionary in encouraging us to select a design that would propel this university far into the future. There is no question that this was the right design. President Simon, we commend you for your leadership, for your long view, for taking risks, and for seeing the tremendous potential of this museum to stretch the imagination of the university and the surrounding community. To Zaha Hadid and your team, you've designed a stunning museum. It is not only a great architectural masterpiece, but the interior space is filled with drama. The natural filtered light creates ideal galleries to show art. And to Michael Rush, we're delighted when you were hired because we knew you would share our desire to make this a truly global contemporary art museum. You've recruited a first-class staff, and we know that your innovative arts programming will draw audiences from around the world. You know, there's a well-worn phrase, if you build it, they will come. Now that this museum is built and open, I predict that people will indeed come. They will come from across this campus. They will come from the neighboring communities. They will come from around the state, across the country, and even to four corners of the world. Today's dedication is evidence of that. We have people here who have come from as far away as Korea and Moscow. This museum has the potential to do for Michigan State University in East Lansing what Frank Gehry's Guggenheim Museum did for Bilbao, Spain. Just this last week, a study was released that found that this museum is expected to pump $6 million annually into the regional economy. Contemporary art is the art of our time. It is our hope that this museum will become a museum of our time, and that space and the art within its walls will inspire and uplift. It will challenge and provoke. It will enrich and educate all who visit. Now, it's no secret that Michigan State University played a pivotal role in my life. It was really the foundation for everything I've done in business, philanthropy, and in life. So it's really a privilege and honor for us to be able to give back to MSU. Edie and I are humbled to have played a role in making this museum possible, and we thank you all for being here.
President Simon and Provost Wilcox closed the dedication with their inspiring remarks, and then the ribbon was cut and the brood was open.
If you think about Michigan State University and you see symbols, you have Sparty and you have Beaumont Tower. I think in the future, as people will pan this campus, you'll have the Broad Art Museum. So Eli and Edie, we want to give you one of those symbols of Michigan State University. A bell from Beaumont Tower, so that you can have that with you. It's a real bell, a real bell. So we want to thank you for your contributions. You can keep this along with the picture of the museum as a way of being an iconic part of Michigan State University. So thank you very much. Thank you. Senator Savinoff, we want to thank you for being here. We want to acknowledge that Senator Levin was here last night and was unable to be here, but he spoke at dinner last night, and it's terrific to have both of you being supportive of the state of Michigan and Michigan State University. Governor Sire, thank you for being here. Your leadership is extraordinary. We have this shared view of being just unrelenting and being able to pursue the most complex projects. I think the museum is an example of that. I also think it's an example of the Renaissance of Michigan. We hope we'll play it in that way, in a terrific fashion for the state. This building is actually an integral part of the academic programs of Michigan State University, and that's somehow potentially gotten lost in all of the celebration of the building. So as a part of the dedication, I'd like to have Provost Wilcox come up for a moment and talk about how this is important to the academic programs.
Thank you, President Simon. It turns out I was in Washington, D.C. yesterday, and I saw a T-shirt, and it simply said, "Without art in its heart, Earth is just eh." E-H. It's true also that without art in its heart, a university is just eh. We need the arts. We need the arts to be part of our university, part of our campus, part of our campus life. And they've always been part of Michigan State University's campus and its belief system, but it wasn't always as visible as it might have been. Now, we are proud to have a visible marker of our commitment to keeping art in our heart at Michigan State University. As the governor suggested, universities are great places. We literally get to shape the future for generations to come. The discoveries and ideas created here make the world a new place. But we don't just think about the future. We have a commitment to the past. Our discoveries, our evolution, our aspirations of the future have to be grounded in and informed by the past. Michael Rush, his team, deserve high credit for the work that they've done in helping us all think about this building and what it will hold in the context of the past. Many people here are patrons of and proud supporters and attendees of the old Kresge Art Museum. That collection now is the basis of what will happen in this museum for years to come. So just as our scientists look backward and read journals and then hypothesize and experiment for the future, so too will our art that's always been in our heart be embedded in our past on the campus and help in real ways to shape the future. On behalf of the faculty, staff, and students of Michigan State University, I want to make a commitment to the benefactors, Eli, Edie, all the rest, that this will not just be the Eli and Edith Rode Art Museum at Michigan State University. This will be the Eli and Edith Rode Art Museum of Michigan State University. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Today is a celebration of dreamers, builders, and givers. And when you think about the founding of Michigan State University as a uniquely American creation, it was designed to bring the most elite ideas, the best science, not simply to the campus, but to the world, to the community, and to do that in a way that it opens its doors to everyone who is talented and committed to meet the highest academic standards. This building represents that. We also want to acknowledge today the people who were the builders. I must assure you, Zaha and Eli, that we were at times unreasonable with these individuals. And there were also some things that we tore out. In your spirit, I knew you would be there. And I wanted to make sure that we kept true to your dream for this building. So we did have to make a few adjustments along the way. So will the people who were a part of building this please stand up and let us recognize you for the wonderful contribution you've made. In the builder category, as well as the giver category, is Edward Minskoff and his wife Julie. There was a part of this project at the beginning when history is written where it was a little tenuous. And Edward and his team in New York helped us enormously to work through those difficult moments. And everyone in this room is a giver to this project and extraordinarily important to us. The Minskoffs, in that period of time at the beginning, by using the assets of his firm, helped us to be sure that this building would be the world-class building that this community needed, this university needed. So Edward and Julie, thank you very much for what you've done. And to the giving part, all of you here have been an important part of that. Your gifts have made this possible. We started this project in the depths of the economic depression for Michigan and for the state. And it seemed a bit foolish at the time to some, if I remember all of those articles, to think about building something like this when there were so many sort of basic needs. But this building does fit a basic need for this university, for this state, and for this country, and does represent the fact that we will be here for many, many years to come and will be a world-class place for many years to come. So we started out with a goal of $40 million, as most of you know, and I'd really like to have the handicapping that some of you gave us for doing that. And many of you in the room, we recognized those last night, were part of that group. And we want to, again, recognize today the individuals who were part of our million-dollar club because they were critical. So if you all stand up for a moment and let us recognize you. The French Pokreski, Selma Hollander, the Demers aren't here, the Burdings. So thank you all very much. Now, what I also want to tell you today is that as a result of an additional gift from the Demers and the Minskoffs last night, we have met our fundraising goals. So thank you very much. Now we can move on to the next project. And there always will be a next project for a great university. So I'd like for you all to think with me for a moment, if you're sitting here celebrating the 25th anniversary for this building, and imagine all the things that will happen in that period of time. The great scientific discoveries that will be around us. The way in which Michigan State University will continue to strive to be a top 100 place in the world and have that extraordinary land-grant heart that has the courage and determination to do something as dramatic as this, but recognizing that this reflects us as well. Our courage, our faith, our boldness, and a way in which we can always connect to the community. And think about all those moments that each of you will have, your children and your grandchildren, around art and art and culture as a part of Michigan State University and the great resources of the state of Michigan. And imagine how much richer we'll all be as a result of this building, this university, and all of you being a part of our team. So thank you very much. And we'd like to now do the ribbon cutting. So you all come up here. Edward, Julie, Gerning, Selma, come on up. Friends of Kresge, we'd like you all to come up.
I hope you enjoyed reliving the November 10, 2012 dedication of the Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum at Michigan State University. Please visit the Broad at broadmuseum.msu.edu. And to hear this celebration again, please visit spartanpodcast.com. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. This is Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's your host, Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, it's the holiday season, and we're going to be preparing a lot of meals around the United States and the Great Lakes area. And to talk to us a little bit about how to prepare those meals to ensure that we have safe and nutritious food, we have Jeannie Nichols. Jeannie Nichols is an MSU Extension educator from Hillsdale County. Jeannie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're moving into the holiday season, and that means family gatherings and a lot of cooking, a lot of meals, a lot of eating, of course.
Right.
But food safety is very important. What do we do as we're thinking about and preparing those fantastic Christmas or Thanksgiving dinners?
One of the biggest things we can do is to plan ahead, because when we plan ahead, then we usually are successful. We are less stressed, and that's the important part. We want to enjoy the holidays and not just get through them. And so the way you can do that is to prepare ahead by preparing plans of how you're going to prepare your food and what you're going to have and who's going to bring what.
Okay. So let's suppose that we're going to have one of the traditional meals for the holidays, turkey, ham, etc. What are some things that we need to do? I know one thing, reading some on some of your website information, but something that people don't think about is cleaning out the refrigerator.
Right. You need to get that refrigerator cleaned out because you're going to have lots of...
That's always fun, isn't it?
Yes, that's always fun. And, you know, we used to do that on a regular basis because we had to defrost the freezer. And now most of us don't do that. We just have a frostless freezer. And so then we don't take the time to clean out our freezer or refrigerator. So that is an important part, mostly to get it clean, but also to make sure that you have enough room in there to get all the food that you're going to purchase at the grocery store. And then once you're at the holiday itself or the big get-together, then you need room to put all those foods as they're prepared and then all the leftovers.
A lot of people tend to use garages and things of that nature for food storage if, say, the icebox isn't big enough for the refrigerator. Good idea, bad idea?
It's generally a bad idea because you often will have, well, it's not as clean as your home, more than likely. Also, you have animals in there once in a while, a cat or a mouse or something. And so we certainly don't recommend that. We recommend that you clean out those refrigerators and freezers. Use a cooler if you need to with ice. And that is much better than using your garage without, unless it's a refrigerator in that garage. That would work just fine.
Okay, so you're getting ready to cook the meal, and you got to thaw that turkey. Anything in particular we need to know about thawing?
Right. Of course, we hope that everybody knows, but sometimes we run across a person or two that still likes to thaw their meat out on the counter. That is a definite no. We want you to, and you should, thaw your meat in the refrigerator. It takes approximately, if you're having a turkey, for example, it takes 4 hours. 24 hours to thaw about 4 pounds, depending upon the temperature of your refrigerator. So it can take several days to thaw a large turkey or ham or whatever you might have to thaw. And then another way to thaw is to put the food in its wrapper, original wrapper, in cold water. And then it has to be covered with cold water, for example, in your sink. And then you need to change that water every 30 minutes. And food thaws very quickly when it's in cold water. People don't realize that until they've tried it. So those are the two of the best ways.
That water needs to be changed every 30 minutes.
Right.
You just can't leave that bird in there
for the duration. Right. And it should be cold water.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, what about cleanliness when you're preparing meals?
Lots of things to say there. One of the most important that we try to get across at MSU Extension is that to wash your hands often. Wash your hands when you're getting ready to prepare the food, in the middle of the food, if you are working with raw meat, and before you use the raw meat, after you've prepared the raw meat, you're going to wash your hands before you do anything else. So, and the way you wash your hands simply is get them wet, add some soap, scrub for about 10 or 15 seconds, rinse and dry. The whole process takes 20 seconds. And sometimes people don't realize that sounds a very short amount of time. But if you watch the clock, it's longer than you think. So wash your hands often. And that is one of the biggest things. And make sure that your refrigerators are cold. They should be 41 degrees or lower. Your freezers should be 0 degrees. And always be sure that once you've cooked a food and you're ready to take it out of the oven, it should be put in the refrigerator, freezer, whatever you're going to do, within 2 hours from the time it's taken out of the oven. Yes.
And one other thing people often ask, what about these pop-up timers? I mean, you want to make sure that the bird or the ham is cooked properly. Food thermometers, pop-up timers, good idea?
Yes. Pop-up timers are actually very accurate. They're within 2 degrees, so they're fine to rely on. But you need to also check the temperature of your ham, or excuse me, the turkey, in another spot or two with a thermometer, a digital thermometer.
Mm-hmm. And then when you're serving that scrumptious meal, again, you want to wash your hands again. Keep washing those hands. Right.
And if you have, you know, your children in the kitchen helping you or grandma comes to help, always be sure that they, you know, wash their hands first. I mean, they just need to know that. And if they don't, then just ask them to do that.
Well, my guest is Jeannie Nichols, who's an MSU Extension educator from Hillsdale County. Okay, right after Thanksgiving or Christmas meal, what are some things that we should bear in mind to make sure that we don't have anybody getting sick?
One of the first things we want to be sure to tell people is that As soon as the meal is over, they get the food in the refrigerator. From the time it leaves the oven, for example, turkey, ham, or whatever meat you're having, until the time it goes back in the refrigerator should be no more than 2 hours. So you've already taken care of the food safely from when you've prepared it and gotten it in the refrigerator. If you think that you have too much food and you're not going to be able to use it up within 3 days, whether it be turkey, ham, or whatever, then you want to get it ready for the freezer right away. Don't wait 3 or 4 days, then put it in the freezer. And use a good freezer bag or a container that is for the freezer.
So once that food goes in the freezer, and assume that it, we've put it in there in a timely fashion, then
right. It's
pretty much good to go until you thaw it out again. Any tips for thawing out that we need to know?
Yes, it is good until you thaw it out. Now, the quality, if you keep something for a year, it may not be as good as if you keep it for just 3 or 4 months. And that is especially true with meat that's been cooked, like ham or turkey. You'd want to use that up within 3 or 4 months for best quality. But as far as safety-wise, if your freezer stays at 0 degrees, with no power outages or anything, then you are going to be safe as far as food safety wise. So,
and just like with all food preparation or handling, whether it's before meals or after meals, it's important. Cleanliness is huge.
Yes, we can't stress that enough, because we know if we can just get people to wash their hands, scrub their hands and under their fingernails and such, everybody that's working with the food before the, you know, while you're preparing it and, after you're cleaning up as well, when you're putting the leftovers away, washing hands is a big issue. And if we can get more and more people to do that, we'll have less foodborne illness, that's for sure.
And any final things that people should be thinking about, Jeannie, as they store those leftovers after those scrumptious meals we have at the during the holiday season?
Just be sure that when you thaw those foods, I think you asked me that earlier and I didn't mention, the best way is to thaw them in the refrigerator. Take them out of the freezer, put them in the refrigerator, and thaw them that way. Then you have the best quality as well. Never leave them out on the counter.
Yeah, that pooch might grab them too.
That's right.
Another issue that might.
Yes.
I've got one just like that. Who will do that?
Right.
I've been talking with Jeannie Nichols, who's an MSU Extension educator from Hillsdale County. We've been talking about food safety and how to store those scrumptious meals for future use. Jeannie, thank you so much for being on Greening of the Great Lakes.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Greening of the Great Lakes with Dr. Kirk Heinze on MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Find more online at greeningofthegreatlakes.com.
Please find us on Facebook by searching for Greening of the Great Lakes and follow us on Twitter at Green Michigan.
Please visit Greening of the Great Lakes online at mlive.com/environment.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.